Hi guys, it's Todd here. Just a very, very quick note to point out that this episode was recorded before the entire world went into quarantine and lockdown and stuff like that. We were originally waiting to see sort of, you know, whether or not the world would ever go back to normal again before we put this episode out. But Tom and I have just decided we're just going to put the episode out. So please excuse the fact that we're probably not directly addressing your actual lives and the world and things like that right now. And just crack on with it. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Remember me? I'm back, baby.
I do remember you. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. Tom, I feel like I haven't seen you in 8,000 years, at least.
It's probably more like 7,000. But
and anyway. Listeners at home, we have not seen you in equally as long. Thank you very much for your patience. How's it going? What you been up to? Oh, that's interesting.
Good to know. We're back. It's the Bitter End podcast. Me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan.
And we're back for a bonus episode to catch up on some fucking unfinished business.
Wah, 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 wah.
Because the eagle-eyed out of you out there may have clocked some point during last year, 2019, that a remake of Child's Play came out, and we have not yet talked about that shit.
Oh my God, I am so excited. I missed it at the cinema.
I missed it.
Yeah, we haven't seen it, guys.
I feel that everyone missed it at the cinema because I was trying to look up like dates so we could go and see it, and it was on for like 4 days, one showing a day. I feel it came out maybe around the time of like Avengers Endgame or something. There was no room in
the
cinema.
We were talking about, oh, we've got to go see it. We've got to go do a bonus episode. And I think there was like the first day that we could have gone, we were busy or something.
And so
we waited a day and then it was gone.
And it's weird because we watched the trailer for this. I mean, it's by the producers of It.
Yeah.
The It remake. And it just feels like maybe they made the film and then it was like, well, why do we make this? Let's fucking bury it. Like, it just felt like it just got squirreled away, disappeared.
Because, buddies, we just watched the trailer, and I am a guy who, outside of this podcast, I don't really watch trailers. Now let me tell you why. I feel that trailers are for people that need convincing to watch the film, right? If you're on the fence, you feel like maybe you'll see it, maybe you won't, then you watch the trailer to decide if you want to see it. That's fine. A movie like a Child's Play remake, I'm definitely going to see it. I don't need to see the trailer. The trailer doesn't need to convince me. I'm going to go. So I avoided that shit.
So you don't know nothing about this remake?
I know. Am I running thinking it's got Mark Hamill in it?
It's got Mark Hamill is doing the voice of Chucky. It's got Aubrey Plaza from like Parks and Rec. She's playing Andy's mum.
Okay.
Some other people in there. The dude who plays Paperboy in Atlanta is in there.
Whoa.
So there's some decent folks in here, which also makes it kind of weird. Like, why did we not see this?
Because that trailer looked pretty tight. The one thing is that it just doesn't look a million miles off of existing Child's Play canon. So why is it not a sequel? I can only assume they were trying to entice new audiences in ways that they might not.
Mm. Like the look of it, like even like the kind of like the apartment building bits on the outside, the Andy and his mum kind of look of everything, it feels very much like, okay, we're retreading the first movie, like a kind of fairly straight remake. I've seen another trailer for this.
Okay, tell.
Well, I'm
tell,
not
Thomas.
Going to tell you what's in it. Ooh. Because the other trailer that I've seen for this one is very teasy. It's very like, it's like a fresh glossy version of what you already know. You don't see a full reveal of Chucky or anything like that. The other trailer goes into a bit more detail and I think there's going to be a new twist on what Chucky is.
Is this going to be... Okay, so there's two things. Is it going to be either there's lots of different Chuckies like we've had in previous Child's Play movies? I hope it's not that. Or is it going to be he's way more robotic because there are a lot of like lasers and shit like that in this trailer?
I mean, I don't know and I'll never tell.
I feel like we're probably not going to get the Dembala voodoo curse coming in.
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll see. You know, we can only hope.
I mean, if nothing else, watching that trailer really made me feel like rewatching the original Child's Play.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally up for this. Like, I just don't know anything about it. I don't know, kind of, you know, like in terms of like how people reacted. I feel like it got the same kind of reaction that it got in terms of like how it was released. Like, nobody noticed.
Yeah, nobody
commented. So,
well,
we are here
to notice and comment.
Yes.
Fair listeners.
Take note.
And I feel like this will either be a terrible chore or it will be Child's Play.
Hey-o, that's very nice. So, we should dive right into this sucker. But Todd, is there anything we need to take care of while we're here? It's been a while.
Oh my God, we have to TC of a little bee. We've got to play that IMDb guessing game, Thomas Denning.
Huzzah!
So, as a little side quest of this game, can you remember the year that the original Child's Play came out?
82?
88.
Okay.
Actually, a lot later than that. Can you remember the IMDb score of the original Child's Play, which admittedly might have shifted since we last played this game?
Is it going to be like 6.5?
6.6.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Which is pretty damn decent. So how do you feel this one will have fared comparatively? Bearing in mind it has not yet even been out a full year.
It's not been out a full year. I've heard absolutely nothing about it. I can't imagine it's going to be it's not going to be above the original. So I'd be like, it's going to be 5.5, maybe.
5.8. Oh, slightly above your low expectations.
I mean, you know, but I think for like a Child's Play remake film, that's actually like a pretty decent expectation.
Oh, yeah. 5.8. Mate, I eat 5.8s for breakfast.
Well, let's go and chow down and put an egg on top of it.
Yum, yum.
We believe that happiness is about more than entertainment. It's about being known, understood, loved. Introducing your new best friend.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
Hello, WonderCon. It's Mark Hamill here. And if you're wondering who's going to voice Chucky in the new Child's Play, you're looking at him. I can't wait to bring such an iconic character to life and present him in a way you've never seen him before. Child's Play this summer. We're going to have some fun. And remember, he's more than just a toy. He's your best friend.
I'm so sorry, Don Mancini, but I really liked it.
Don't hate it, man.
I
fuck with it. It's pretty good. It's all right.
It's good, right?
I'm going to say, if you haven't seen it and you feel like you might be inclined to watch it, spoiler alert, maybe just, you know, like hold, you know, not going to tell you what to do, but just like hold fire on the podcast, go and watch the movie.
Well,
I enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it. And I would counter you're requesting people not to listen to the podcast, partly because they pay your wages, Tom.
Absolutely, they do.
Without even knowing it. But the other thing is that, like, it's not really a very kind of surprising film. The only thing that was surprising about it was that it was good.
Yeah.
There were no real twists. There were a couple of cool set pieces that went a bit further than I expected.
There were some good set pieces in this thing.
But it's decent.
No, I know what you mean. Like, so I saw another trailer for this movie and, a big part of this is it's not Chucky is like a killer Teddy Ruxpin, like in the 80s one.
Yeah.
In this, he's kind of like an AI, like he's like an Alexa. So it's all this thing about, you know, like it's much more technology based and linked to everything and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. That seems like a little bit like, oh, we're being modern. And I wasn't saying, I don't know how Todd's going to feel about that. But actually, you know, it was cool. It worked. And a lot of like the kills and stuff like that is still very much physically.
Yeah.
The doll going and doing this stuff. It's not like he's kind of.
But it's the motivation.
It's the motivation.
Because they give him a bit more character. Now, we will get into the plot, dear listeners, very soon. But the basic gist is that, as Thomas has so eloquently described, Chucky here is like a Google Home Hub kind of thing that for some reason is in this creepy doll body.
In the ugliest thing ever.
And one of them, this one unit gets shipped without the safety protocols that it's supposed to have to stop it doing just whatever you say.
It just goes Skynet. It becomes self-aware and it starts learning.
And it imprints on our little boy, Andy, who here is quite a bit older than the original film. In the original film, he's about 6. Here, he's about 13.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It imprints on him. He's like, hey, I'm your friend to the end. And then basically watches everything that Andy does, and every time anyone upsets him or every time he sort of, as a 13-year-old boy, is like, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
You know, he like internalizes all of this and then is like, but you wanted this, Andy. Stop, 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 stop.
So it's kind of like, it's the kind of storyline that I think that we've seen in like a lot of other like robot friend stories. But it's cool, and it's nice. It's enough of a twist for this not to feel like a totally like redundant reboot, because this is it's a very kind of different Chucky, because he's not a serial killer in a kind of, I'm a serial killer because I like serial killer. Like there's actually some sympathetic moments to Chucky, which is quite weird.
I do miss the backstory of Charles Lee Ray and having like the supernatural Dembala element of like, no, he's going to move his spirit into your body. And,
yes, yes, yes. There's a different motivation there that he's like, I want to be a real boy man again.
But
I
feel like even Don Mancini kind of ran out of steam with that quite early on when it just sort of became like, after a while, Chucky just stops doing that because the plot demands it. So he's just like, oh, I'm just going to be a doll now. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I did miss that. And the other element that I missed is Big Brad. Fuck, it's been so long, Tom. I can't even say it anymore. Big Bad Brad, the Big Bad Lad. That is the elephant that wasn't in the room. Now, Mark Hamill, I understand he's a very famous Skywalker, but he's not so good on the voice here. And he's very one note. There's no points that Chucky, he never switches in. Like, because one of the great things about the original Chucky is like, Heidi ho, I'm your friend to the end. And then when Mum's out the room, he's like, look here, kid. Listen to me.
Yeah, he never goes like full on gnarly. And I was like, I didn't mind Mark Hamill, and like when he was announced as the voice of Chucky, I thought, okay, that's interesting, because Mark Hamill is like, after Star Wars, has made like a very good go of it as a voice actor.
He's in Batman stuff, right?
He's like very famous as like being the Joker in Batman the Animated Series in the Arkham games. He's been in a whole bunch of stuff. He's been like, even things like, what, you know, he'll just pop up in things, and he's got quite a recognisable voice, which is the only thing I was like, oh, okay, is he just going to sound like, is it just going to be like, oh, it's just Mark Hamill? Because when you hear Mark Hamill and stuff, you go, oh, that's probably Mark Hamill. But like, I thought it was cool, but yeah, it's a bit more of an understated, you don't have that like 1 to 11 kind of thing that you had with Brad Dourif. It's like, you motherfucking fuck! Which was always a lot of fun. But it's a different kind of Chucky, but not as fun as Brad.
Yeah.
But it does a job. It does the job of this Chucky.
Okay, okay.
But should we start at the beginning with this
thing?
Yeah,
absolutely. How does it start, Tommy? Talk me through it.
So we get like, it begins with an ad for Caslin Products, which is kind of like an Apple, Google, we make literally everything, Amazon producer. They're making all kinds of stuff, and their big product is the Buddy, and instantly, you know, you've got to suspend your disbelief with a film about a murdering toy. The biggest bit of suspension disbelief is that anyone would have this fucking thing in their home, and they would all sit around it all like with like gooey wide-eyed wonder, being like, hey Buddy, turn on the television, you fucking horrific piece of shit.
Well, this is what's so weird,
so brutal.
It's so weird because they say, hey Buddy, turn on the television, and Buddy wirelessly with his ET glowing finger turns on the television, fine. But then there's another scene next where it's like, oh Buddy, where are my car keys? And Buddy has like walked over to get the car keys. Like, Basically, I'm confused as to why they've built the doll with legs.
Yeah, it's like an Alexa, but also with a level of robotics that is not currently available in for commercial purchase.
And it's as true now as it was with the first film. When you, the few times you see Chucky walk,
yeah, it's horrific.
That is a nope from hell. Yeah, that is a get that shit out of my eyes.
That's the uncanny valley. And I feel like maybe that's what they were trying to go with like the face. But I feel like it's not kind of like. It's creepy, but it's not uncanny enough to be believable as a product.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It does just look like a scary doll that has an Alexa up its butt. And then we go to a Vietnamese factory for this company where there's like this like hard pushed guy who's I think he's one of the programmers programming the buddy dolls. And then his boss comes over in a Hawaiian shirt and smacks him in the fucking face. He's like, hey, why are you not fucking working? Why are you looking off into the middle distance for even a fucking second? I got a Hawaiian shirt. I can buy and sell you. I own you. Fuck. And he walks off and the guy's like, well, that's it. I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to turn off all the security protocols on this one Chucky doll.
Yeah, which is then going to get shipped across the planet to another country.
Yeah, that'll really show him. But then the boss also dies.
Yeah.
But then you're not sure, like, did... Because the Chucky doll would have no reason to go and kill the boss.
I don't think it was the Chucky doll. Like, this is quite early on in the film, and me and Tom were still sort of, you know, getting comfy in our cushions and you know, still being like, you're all right, mate? Yeah, you're all right, yeah, you know, passing around the Ronnies. It's possible we missed something, but I think what it is that the worker, the guy that, like, hacked into this one particular doll, was then like, and then immediately went upstairs and threw his boss out the window?
I don't know, because there was no reasoning for Chucky to do it. And there's actually very little, other than he's reprogrammed the doll, nothing else indicates that he did go and kill him and he would have no motivation to go and kill him. So in that case, the guy was like, oh man, this guy's such a dick. I'm going to show him who's boss. I'm going to reprogram this doll. It's going to really come bite him back in the ass, like in like maybe a month's time if it ever gets traced back this far. Oh, why did I do that? I'm just going to go and kill him.
Yeah. Like, I think that's kind of
his first evil plan was rubbish, or, you know, like did not serve the ends that we wanted to get. So anyway, that guy's dead. And now we're going to go...
back to America, and we're going to meet Mrs. Andy's mum.
Yes, played by Aubrey Plaza. She's working in Z-Mart, which is like the worst fucking department store ever. And this guy comes and slams a Chucky doll on the counter. And he's like, no one told me this piece of fucking shit was ginger. Just fucking amazing line.
And it turns out that, yes, they're bringing out the Buddy 2. This dude has bought one of the last remaining Buddy 1s, which are ginger. One of the upgrades with the new one is, don't worry, guys, it's not ginger anymore, it's blonde. Don't blame us. This is what's in the film.
Yeah.
But they're not out yet. So if the dude wants the blonde one, he's going to have to fucking wait.
Yeah, and she gives him a bit of sass and says, well, you know, it's got a fucking window in the box. You can see it's ginger. He says that it's malfunctioning, bloody, bloody, blah. Anyway, she's now got this buddy doll that she can, that she kind of swindles. She kind of like blackmails one of the stockroom manager.
Is this dude called Wes? Now, the return doll is supposed to be shipped all the way back to Vietnam. He's like, I got to ship it back to Vietnam. Then they'll probably throw it in the bin.
Mm.
Aubrey Plaza's like, well, if they're going to throw it in the bin, just let me have it. My son's birthday's coming up. And he's like, nah, I can't be bothered. And then she goes, I remember seeing you have sex with the stock girl. Maybe I should tell your wife about it. And Wes goes, don't do that. And then she goes,
I'm having
the doll then. And that's...
Bye! See you in the third act.
oh, and she does.
And so then she goes and takes this buddy doll back to Andy. So in this version of the film, they are living in an apartment. I don't remember if this was a big part of the first thing, but like they're in a new town. It's a new place. Andy's having trouble kind of like making new friends.
Yeah, there's a slight difference with the family backstory. So in the original film, there's a dad who has died.
Mm.
There doesn't seem to be any of that here. Instead, there's just a fleeting reference to Andy's mum got pregnant when she was 16, so very young. Just seems like the dad's maybe not on the scene. She's probably like 30s, early 30s by this point, if he's like about 13. Maths adds up. She's working in Z-Mart. You know, things aren't going great. They have this palatial apartment, of course, as people always do in films. But things aren't going that great.
Yeah.
Money's tight.
Yeah, and then so, you know, to kind of, he's having trouble fitting in, he's got a shit phone, blah, blah, blah. She gets him the buddy doll as a surprise because she, like, finds him watching, like, this video of a buddy doll fucking a box on her, on his phone. And they all have a right old laugh about it. And she's like, well, he's going to love this absolute horrific slice of hell that is a buddy doll. And it imprints on him.
It imprints on him, yeah. And so the doll says, like, what do you want to call me? In Mark Hamill's voice. And Andy goes, oh, I want to call you Han Solo.
Get it? Because it's Mark Hamill.
But Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like a double sick burn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's weird Easter eggs in this film, maybe? There were bits like, is that a reference to something? Like, there's a bit where it's like, is that a reference to the Leprechaun movies that have nothing to do with the Child's Play movies other than they exist?
Yeah, I mean, kinda.
Yeah.
But then for some reason, because the doll's malfunctioning, instead of being like, okay, my name's Han Solo, it goes, did you say Chucky? And he goes, no, I didn't. And he goes, okay, my name's Chucky.
Cool. Cool reference, bro.
Cool, sick reference. I have a question about Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Does Mark Hamill have a pet camel?
I don't know, but I hope he does.
Do you think he speaks Tamil?
Maybe he does.
I've been racking my brains since the podcast started about words that rhyme with Hamill. Those are the only two I got.
I mean, those are pretty good.
Thanks.
Those are good words. We'll try and come up with some more as the episode progresses.
I don't think there are any.
Okay.
Carry on.
Anyway, yeah, so then this kind of weird... It becomes very obvious that the Chucky doll is broken. And Andy's mum's like, oh, it's broken. Let's get rid of this piece of shit. But then Andy kind of likes it for some reason. And actually kind of becomes friends with it. It's also around this time that we get introduced to this film's version of Detective Mike.
Who is called Detective Mike.
Detective Mike, but played by Brian Tyree Henry, who is Paperboy from Atlanta. And he's good.
He's pretty good sick. Yeah. So his mum lives down the hall from Aubrey Plaza.
So he doesn't live in the apartment block, but
he visits his mum once a week for dinner. Every time he comes, he sees Andy hanging out by himself in the hall outside with no friends, and he kind of ribs him a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of business, but they've kind of become friends. He seems like he's maybe a little bit dorky, but like he's cool. So, yeah, like, there's this bit where, like, Chucky and Andy are, like, bonding. Andy's telling us a little bit about himself. He likes to do drawings of weird buddy cop mashups. One of them is, like, oh, like, this one. Like, Dracula and... Oh, who the fuck was it? Like...
It was, like, Dracula and a T-Rex or something like
something,
that.
Something like that. And, like, another one is, like, oh, this one's Zorro and Medusa. That one's kind of a deep cut. Deep cut to what, Andy? Your own brain?
He's drawn Medusa wrong, I find it. Yeah. Medusa is a woman with snakes for hair.
Yeah.
In his drawing, Medusa is just a big snake.
No, like, I think he's drawn Medusa as a big snake with three heads. So like a hydra, but not quite.
Yeah.
Like a hydra in training.
Yeah, fucking...
I mean, that's why it's
such a... Come on, mate, read your Greek myths.
Deep cut. Deep cut to like a very, you know, kind of like a prequel bit of Greek myth or something. Anyway, so
because Buddy, aka Chucky, has imprinted on Andy, he starts to sort of mimic a little bit of everything that he does, and we get this excellent imprinting montage. So there's a shot of Andy is making a sandwich, chopping it up. When he's done slicing the sandwich, he takes the steak knife and he stabs it directly into the chopping block. And like, we see Chucky sort of look at this and be like, okay, a lesson has been learned. That's stabbing. What you do with knives. Stabbing. I've learned the power of stabbing. And he hears, he gets introduced to the family cat, who's called Mickey Rooney. And Andy goes, I hate that cat. That cat's a dick. And Chucky is like, a lesson has been learned. The cat is a dick and I hate it.
Yeah.
And we also get introduced to the mum's new boyfriend, Shane.
Who is also a dick.
Shane is a huge dick.
Yeah. But like, in all of these like sinister bits of like foreshadowing and all this kind of stuff, the interesting thing about this film is that Andy and Chucky actually become like legitimate friends. Like much, you spend much more time with them being friends. Like in the original film, it's like a little bit where like Andy, you never see any of it on screen, and Andy's like, "Oh, Chucky told me this. Chucky told me that." This we see it, and Chucky becomes the friend that Andy has struggled to make since he's been in this new town, in this new place, and also kind of helps him make actual real human people friends.
Yeah, and there's an interesting parallel to the lessons that our boy Kevin McAllister learns in Home Alone here, because one of the other things that happens very early on is that Andy realizes almost from the start that there's something wrong with Chucky. He gets pretty much straight away that, oh no, Chucky's kind of broken in like an interesting way, and that he does things that Chucky's aren't supposed to do. So for example, when Andy says the cat's a dick, Chucky repeats back, the cat's a dick, and Andy goes, oh, I don't think you're supposed to say that things are a dick.
And he's like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, well, he kind of is. And he really quickly works out that this buddy doll will actually do anything. Mm. They're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to have these locks on. And he starts to use this to, like, impress the local neighbor kids. And, like, that's how he gets friends. So they're, like, filming hilarious YouTube videos of, like, making Chucky do pranks, stab shit, and go, that's for Tupac! And stuff like that. And so this is kind of the Home Alone lesson, because at first it's like, oh, we're kids and we can do whatever we want. We've got this thing that will do whatever we want. And then there's a moment later on where they're like, uh-oh, this has gone too far, now we need grown-ups.
Yeah. And it's in this he makes friends with two local kids called Fallon and Pug, who is like kind of like a tough girl and a big doofy guy. They're really impressed by this like sentient Chucky doll. It's like, say dick cheese. And Chucky goes,
Dick cheese.
And the voice is Mark Hamill. And the guy's, oh,
that's amazing.
That's fucking brilliant. And so they all sit around and watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 with an ever-learning, broken, sentient murder toy. And Chucky's watching Pug going, oh, this fucking guy, he's killing this guy. And he's like, I don't know how to impress these guys. And he goes off and he gets a knife out and comes in the room and tries to murder Pug. And they want to hold him down. And Chucky cuts
Andy.
And then there's this bit where, and then you see Chucky freaking out, because he's like, I don't know what I did wrong. I thought you would like this. And there's this bit where, like, Chucky's left in a room on his own, and, like, he's just, like, he's got these kind of glowing blue eyes in the dark, and the way he's lit, like, there's bits in this film where, in full-on lighting, the doll looks horrific and ugly, and I don't want to see it. Then certain times, when the way it's lit in a certain way, it looks really evil, and in this way, it looks actually quite sort of like, you feel a bit bad for it.
Yeah.
And in this point, like, the voice acting is quite good, like, that it's, you know, like, you kind of like, oh, I actually feel quite bad for the Chucky doll, because it didn't know what it had done wrong. Like, it is broken.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of an interesting twist.
Yeah, it's, and it works. It works. These bits where they sort of lock him away, and it's just like, all he wants is just to make Andy happy. But he's got none of the stuff that would kind of stop him from knowing where the line is.
Yes. And then this is where sort of like things all start to go wrong between Andy and Chucky.
So it starts with Mickey Rooney the cat.
Yeah, because like, Chucky is upset, and then Andy rejects him, and so Chucky takes this to heart, and then Chucky starts acting out and kind of starts tormenting the dick boyfriend, or, you know, doing things that are going to get Andy in trouble. Like, he starts becoming a little bit malicious, and then there's a bit where he's playing a game with Andy, like a board game.
Yep.
And then the cat scratches Andy's hand. And so then Andy goes to kind of clean the blood off.
And when he comes back, Chucky's strangling the cat.
Like, fucking full on choking out this fucking cat.
Yeah. And this then plays out, like, there's a bit more scenes and nonsense. And then eventually Andy comes home and cat's dead. Mm. Cat's been stabbed. And this bit is amazing, actually. It's a really, really powerful scene. Cat's dead. And he's just like, oh, he knows exactly why this has happened. He gets like all of the stuff that Tom has just described about like the pathos with the doll and everything, like all at once. And we just sort of see him really sad and feel incredibly guilty. And then he gets this box And he puts something in the box and he throws it down the garbage chute. And at first we're like, oh, he's chucked out Chucky. He's gotten rid of Chucky. But then he's in bed later and his mum's like, have you seen the cat? And no, he was chucking out the dead cat.
Yeah.
And he lies to his mum. He goes, no, I think the cat must have run away.
Dickhead boyfriend left the door
open. Yeah. And then later she goes and he's alone in his room and we hear this meowing sound. We're like, ooh, maybe the cat is back somehow. We look in the corner and Chucky's there and he's playing back this meowing sound to Andy, I guess, to try and calm him down or soothe him because he's like, you like meowing. But then it gets darker because then the meowing sounds start to become like the sounds of the cat being killed. And Chucky's just in the corner smiling, like playing back this recording.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
It's good. It's like, I dig it. It's like, it's something a little bit new. And yeah, that bit's particularly fucked up and takes the AI Alexa-y kind of element that they put into this film and does something like kind of cool and unsettling with it.
Now, Tom, do you want to tell us what happens to Shane, the asshole boyfriend?
Yeah, so there's like Chucky continues to act out and like get Andy and shit. So he'll like pop up behind the boyfriend and just play back recordings of Andy saying, that boyfriend's a fucking dick. And then he'll like barge into the room and like have like a bit of a set to with Andy and be like, yeah, if you were a man, you tell me you got a problem with me, you tell me to my face.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. You know, because he's a big man picking on a tween, basically. And then he like fucks off and he's like, I just wish he'd never been here. It's like I haven't learned the lesson from the cat. I just wish he would get. And then like Chucky's like, ding dong, okay, I'm gonna go and follow Sean.
I think it's Shane. I might be wrong.
The douchey boyfriend. And we all know, you know, from the instant he was in this film, it's like, well, this guy's going to die horribly. He gets in his truck and you hear a bronk in the back of the truck. And he's like, that's Chucky there. And he drives out. And this thing, like, he drives out to a house and you can see him, like, the truck pulls up and people are in the window of the house. And they go like, Daddy's here. And he's got a wife and two little girls. He, like, has his wedding ring hidden behind, like, the rear view, like, the mirror in the car. And he's like, put that on. It's like, oh, dick move, bro. And then for some reason he's like, hey little girls, hey, I love you. Now I'm gonna go and take down the Christmas tree lights in the dark with no help. And he's taking down the lights, he's wrapped them all around himself because apparently that's what you do when you take back down a big thing of lights. And then like the ladder's going and he's like, what the fuck? He's looking around with his torch and then he falls down and both of his legs split and the bones go straight out of his fucking legs. And he's like, oh no. And then you cut to the inside of the house where like his two little girls are like on iPads with headphones on. So it's completely silent while he's out there going,
oh no, I ain't got no legs though.
And what happens then? Because this is not the end of this shit.
Oh no. So he is on the floor. He's screaming for his family. He's going, I ain't got no legs though. Oh no, no. And
there's a phone, isn't there, that he sees.
He's trying to reach. It's his phone that he dropped when he fell. So he's trying to get the phone so he can call his wife out of the house to come and sort of help him up. But then Chucky turns on this, like, the most brutal industrial lawnmower. This is, like, Mad Max's lawnmower. It's, like, this sort of combine harvester thing that's just lying around. He turns it on, and the lawnmower's, like, going along the lawn, threshing everything, tearing it to ribbons, and it like ends up eating up the tail end of these Christmas tree lights that are wrapped around his body. So it's like dragging it towards him, pulling him in. And as Tom correctly pointed out while we were watching it, if he were to crawl to the left or the right, he would be fine. But no, he's begins by crawling away, but then it's catching up to him. So then he's like, I'm gonna crawl towards it, and he lifts up the blades so they're like an inch from his head, and he's like, phew, I've saved it. And he's just going like, my wife. Not in a Borat voice. He's not going, my wife. He's going, wife, come out here and help me. And then Chucky's like, oh, fuck this. So Chucky jumps on his chest with a knife and he's like, hey, hey. And
oh, no, he says, this is for Tupac.
This is for Tupac. He goes to stab him. So then Shane has this choice of like this fucking combine harvester at his head or the murder doll that's on his chest. He chooses to bat away the murder doll, thus dropping the combine harvester on his head. And the top of his head flies through the machine out the back and his scalp lands on a garden gnome.
Oh, yeah. And this
is
when
beautiful.
This is when, like, I think we were kind of like, this is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And this, I think, when we sat up and were like, oh ho,
will you?
Hello, will hello there. You have my attention. And then followed by this, Detective Mike gets called out the next day to investigate the murder, and we see the body, and the body has no skin on a deface. And I was like, oh, because it got threshed off by the combine harvester or something like that.
Yeah.
No, because then we go to Andy's house and Andy just walks into his bedroom, doop 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 doop, and he finds the peeled head of his mum's boyfriend just on the nightstand.
This is amazing. It's like pinned to like some sort of mannequin head or mask or something. And it's horrific, especially because, yeah, this initial shot, he kind of walks past it and doesn't even notice. And what follows is like this brilliant sort of series of sequences that it's like a 90s sitcom farce where there's just like continual some kind of misunderstanding that leads to deeper and deeper predicaments. Only the plot point is like a dude's severed face.
Yeah.
So Andy, for some reason, has to keep this severed face of her.
He
can't tell the cops and he won't tell his mum.
He tells his mates.
They wrap it up in wrapping paper like it's a present and are going to get rid of it. But then his mum catches them. We're like, where are you going with that? She thinks something fishy's going on. So like, oh, we're going to go give a present to the lady down the hall.
Because she helps me with my homework.
So then the mum like maybe smells a rat and she's like, well, okay then. Well, all right. Let's do exactly that. I'm going to march you down to the old lady down the hall and we can give her this present. So then they knock on the door of the old lady, who's Paperboy's mum. She answers and she's like, hello. And the little boy is like, I've made this present for you. And gives her this severed head wrapped in like wrapping paper. And she goes, thank you very much.
Like, because all the help you did give me on homework, wink, 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 wink. And she's like, oh, okay, cool, a present. Lovely. I'll open it now. No. Don't open it now. It's my birthday in 2 weeks' time. We'll open it together then, because that's how giving presents to people works. She's like, well, alrighty then.
This does not smell like raw meat at all. I won't put it in the fridge. I'll just leave it out, and I'm sure it'll not be noticeable that it's a severed fucking head.
I was just thinking, like, what was it wrapped round? Because the skull was still on the body.
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's very, like a mannequin.
It's like a bowling ball or something, because it's pretty heavy.
This whole bit is hilarious. It's genuinely really, really funny.
Yeah, it's good. So after this bit of like head capering.
And it is a caper.
It is a absolute caper. Andy does work his way to get hold of the head again. He manages to steal it back out of the old lady's apartment and they chuck it down the garbage disposal. There's also a bit where Chucky and his mates, Chunk and Goose, or whatever the fuck their names are.
Andy and his mates.
They go and murder Chucky because they're like, oh, holy shit, he's murdered somebody. And they get the jump on him and they pull out his kind of like Iron Man-esque power core out of his chest. And it's kind of sad, this bit, even though we know that we've killed him. Like, they still kind of play it that, like, Chucky is a little bit like, I don't understand. All I've done is try to do things that would make you happy. Why are you doing this? And they dump the body down the garbage chute in the apartment block that they live in, where it gets picked up by Jack Black, the creepy janitor. He's not Jack Black, but fuck me, this guy looks like Jack Black.
To the point that both me and Tom were watching the film. We were watching the man. We were watching his face and hearing his voice. And we still had to look it up and be like, that's Jack Black. The internet says it is not. But it took us a long time into the film before we worked out it wasn't.
Dude pays his bills as a Jack Black impersonator, I'm sure. Anyway, so he is the quintessential creepy janitor caretaker guy.
He's like the superintendent of the apartment block.
Yeah, he's got a creepy dungeon basement. He's like, hot dang, a buddy doll. I'm going to sell this on the internet for loads of money once I've fixed it up, because that's what I do. Everyone's going to pay big money for a refurb of a doll that we've already established is kind of obsolete and no one's into, because we're bringing out Mark II very soon. But just go with it, people.
Maybe he's planning to dye it blonde.
Maybe he should have. But anyway, he kind of tortures the Chucky doll. He gets it up and working again and does all this work on it, and it kind of feels like he's torturing Chucky.
Why did they program me to feel pain?
Exactly. but then, and also, like, he's a proper dirtbag. He's like creepy murder dungeon and his grubby vest weren't enough, he's got like sliver style cameras in all the apartments in the block, and he's like massively perving on Aubrey Plaza in the shower and all this kind of stuff.
Yes, and crucially as well, in one of the cameras that he's got in Paperboy's old lady mum home. I don't know why he put one in there.
Sometimes that's just what he fancies.
But he's just watching them have a nice dinner while Andy's trying to steal back the severed head. And he hears Paperboy's elderly mum say, Andy, you're my best friend. And so Chucky hears that, does not like it.
Doesn't care for it.
Logs that for later. Yeah. That's a lesson learned.
He's like, I'm going to go and kill her. But first of all, Jack Black, he's fucking had it. And
this bit is amazing. If the previous scene with the severed head was a Fraser Crane routine, this is a Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
Like, so cartoonish, but it's awesome. I can't... Basically, there's Chekhov's circular saw on a table.
Yeah, Chuck... he gets up and running, and because Chucky's Alexa, he kind of, like, turns off the... He has control over the lights and all this kind of stuff. So he kind of uses his control of the lights and, like, one of those little, like, robot hoovers that go around the floor against Jack Black.
A Roomba.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, he's turning off the lights and he's like, oh, turn on... Caslin, turn on the lights, turn on the lights, turn on the lights. And then Chucky's, like, stabs him in the leg. Stabs him, honest to God, between the legs, right in the fucking peen.
Stab in the peen!
Absolutely fucking stabs it in there.
Now we're watching Child's Play.
You know, he's slicing and dicing him, and Jack Black's like, oh no, I can't be getting stabbed in the peen again. I've got to climb up on top of this table. I hope there's not a, you know, heavy duty piece of like equipment like mounted into the table. That would be terrible. There is. It's a circular saw.
Table tips over because the dude's a bit too heavy for how small the table is. But it's okay. He goes, woo! And he holds onto this big pipe on the ceiling. So he's and then he's hanging over this like rotating circular saw suspended from this pipe. But then Chucky, because he can control the whole building, he turns up the heating and the pipe starts to get really hot. And the dude's hands are burning, and he's like, oh no, my hands are burning. But I've been stabbed in the peen, and there's a circular saw directly between my legs. Oh. And we shouldn't laugh.
Yeah. Because, you know, again, rather than rolling out the way or like maybe trying to swing your body so you can kind of get a bit of momentum to get shot of the circular saw, he just falls straight on the fucking thing, and it saws him through the dick and the butt, and it cuts his leg off.
Oh, it's
he's
very
dead.
It's very satisfying.
Fucking dead.
I was watching the whole thing. I was loving it, and he hits the saw blade, and the camera cuts away, and we just see this big spray of blood go everywhere. And there was this instant where I was like, that was a great sequence. That was so nicely done and very tasteful with just cutting away to the spray of the blood. And then in the next shot, we see the saw going through his groin and him going, oh, fuck! Oh, shit! So they totally teased it out. Oh, it made me very happy.
It was good. It was good stuff. And then, oh, what else is going on? So now we're kind of rocketing towards the end.
Oh, we're well into the third act by this point.
We get the whole thing about the launch of the Buddy 2 is coming up very soon. And it comes in, it doesn't come in ginger, it comes in blonde, but also comes in horrific bear form.
Oh my God, the bear version of the Buddy 2 is the creepiest thing.
It's like a bear with no nose. It's like if a bear had an acid burn that took its half of its face off.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I'm like, well, I look forward to that popping up later on.
If any listeners are familiar with the games Five Nights at Freddy's, this is like equally as creepy as any of the murder bears from Five Nights at Freddy's.
Anyway, so that's like a little bit like, hey, remember this? This is coming up later on. And then we get Chucky trying to murder Detective Mike Paperboy's mum.
Yeah, because she's called herself basically an Uber, but it's by the same company that make the dolls.
Yes, it's a Caslin robot car, basically. It's a self-driving car.
She gets in, and then Chucky starts to control the car because she had said that she's Andy's new best friend, and Chucky's like, don't like that. So she's like driving the car around, zooming it around, making it do jumps and going off ramps and crashing into things and turning off the airbags and all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah, gets her in a big car crash, and then Chucky stabs her.
Yeah.
But again, this bit is quite nicely done. There's just like a very, very, like kind of like quite drawn out bit of like, there's no music, just silence of her in the car, and she's just trying to figure out where Chucky is. And, you know, you're just kind of waiting for the jump scare, but it's quite nicely done. I enjoyed it. Paperboy is, again, he's not happy about that.
He's not happy. I was expecting him to stumble across her body and give us a proper no.
Yeah.
But he goes a different way with it. He's a bit more like
yeah. He bites the fist.
He bites the fist.
And around this time, so Andy and his mates feel they've gotten rid of Chucky. They think he's gone. And then it turns out that Omar, who's one of the other like teens in the building, gets a Chucky doll. And then Andy's like, oh shit, that's my Chucky. He's back, but no one will believe him. And he gets into like a fight with Omar, and like Chucky's like popping up behind him in the Zed Mart, showing like footage of, you know, like he's filmed around the house and of like the boyfriend's severed head, and he's like freaking Andy out, and he really starts like playing mind games with him, and he gets in a big fight with Omar, and he gets Omar's phone. So now he's got a decent phone with the Chucky, the Caslin app.
The app, you can see through the eyes of your...
Because it's like a baby cam, it's like a baby monitor as well. And so he's using that to try and be like, I need to know what Chucky's doing. So he kind of like finds out all this bad stuff that Chucky's doing. And then we're going to rocket towards the big, the unveiling of the Buddy 2.
Yep.
Which is happening in Zed Mart, like the worst mall ever.
I have a question for you. Do you think if, there was a shopping mall that only sold pork products, it would be called a Hamall?
Oh, maybe. Yes, I hope so. Hamall. Hamall.
Hamall.
Hamall.
Hamall.
Hamall. Hamall.
Hamall. Carry on.
Yes.
Wes comes back. Wes, who is Aubrey Plaza's boss at the Zed Mart, and he is forced to dress up as a giant Chucky doll
for
this
promo
big
event.
Sort of like this big sort of fiberglass head on.
Everyone is super fucking pumped for this unveiling. While this has all been going on, Mike has figured out, he thinks that it was from the paper that was like wrapped around the head of this dead body, it gets found, the boyfriend's head, and he saw it in his mum's apartment. So he's like, fuck, it's Andy. Andy has been doing all these murders. And also the two goofy mates that Andy had, he kind of fallen out with, they've realized that Chucky's not dead. So everyone's like, okay, we've all got to go here to either find Andy and or Chucky, at which point we're having this big unveiling. Wes comes out in a big like buddy outfit. Just before the curtain gets pulled back, he gets stabbed in the neck by Chucky. He's fucking staggering around. All these people are going like, yeah, Caslin, I love body dolls. This guy with the big head is fucking cool. And there's this little girl dressed all in pink. And she's like, yeah, grandma, fucking love one of these. Can we buy a body too? And like Wes kind of comes down. He's like, well, I'm fucking groggy. I've been stabbed in the neck. And he takes the big foam head off. And then blood just fucking gushes straight out of his like artery in his neck right into this girl's face. It is... It's one of those like, oh, they're gonna do it, and you know what they fucking do.
They do,
and it's pretty good.
I also really enjoy your description there of if you got stabbed in the neck, how are you feeling? Bit groggy.
But he's
you
kind of
said
like,
he's a bit groggy.
He's kind of like lolloping
a bit groggy.
He's lolloping about a bit, isn't he? He looks like he's had a few too many shandies, and then like all kind of hell breaks loose. That's when like Chucky's like he's really hacked the mainframe, as it were.
So yeah, he does a few things. He brings all of the other buddy dolls to life, including the ones with the bastard little bear faces.
Yeah, he does some spooky videos on the big monitors.
Yeah, and he starts flying around these Caslin drones. Now I don't know if he's pre-doctored these or if this is just how they come, but these drones have razor sharp helicopter blades on them to the point that he literally
murders people
by flying these into their necks.
He tries to kill somebody.
He succeeds in killing
Wes. Gets absolutely fucking chewed up by that, and he also gets Paperboy Mike.
Yeah.
When you're like, no, not Mike, because he does that trying to save one of Andy's mates. And while it's all going on there, there's like fucking murder bears.
Yeah.
Just like killing people. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, this is carnage. This is good.
This is all good. Everyone kind of gets out of the store. They kill some of the bears. It's just who's in there? Like Chucky.
Yeah.
Andy's mum.
Yeah.
Dead Paperboy Mike. Wink, wink. Andy and his mates, and they're all trying to escape, and then Andy realizes that Chucky's got his mum, and he's like, go on without me, and he pushes his friends out as like the big shutters come down, and then Andy picks up like a chainsaw and a massive meat cleaver and goes in to like have his big, you know, third act showdown with Chucky.
Yes, and they go into the big creepy dark stock room at the back, and Chucky's got Andy's mum, Aubrey Plaza, and he's tied a noose around her neck and then the other half to the forks of a forklift truck, and he's slowly raising the forks of this forklift truck in the slowest hanging of all time, and he's broadcasting directly via Bluetooth into Andy's hearing aid.
Yes, we completely didn't bring this up, that Andy needs to wear a hearing aid in this, and it is somehow Bluetooth enabled.
Yeah, I guess it must have been made by Caslin, but like, yeah, this whole time that he's bombing around the ham mall,
he's got Chucky's voice.
Chucky's voice is in his head being like, got your mum, got your mum.
Basically, if I can't have you, no one will. And then he's like, we're going to be best friends forever, Andy. I'm broken. I think you're broken too, which means actually I'm going to kill you and like open you up and try and fix you like Jack Black did. So I'm going to kill everybody, basically. Prepare to die. And
he's just a mixed up kid.
He's a mixed up kid. And Andy, you know, bashes him about a bit. There's a bit of a scrap. Andy saves his mum. We think that Chucky's down. And then we get the last, you know, jump scare of the killer in the film. And he jumps through the air. And then, oh, what? Glock, glock. Chucky gets shot. Paperboy Mike was okay. He's not too bad. He's not dead.
Yeah, he shoots him and he just goes like, that's the end.
Yeah, and then...
And Aubrey, it kind of is.
And then Aubrey Plaza just goes fucking ballistic and rips Chucky's head off. And it's like, do not fuck with my son. So like Chucky gets killed then. And then also Andy and his mates take Chucky's body out back and absolutely bash the shit out of it with sledgehammers. So Chucky gets royally fucked up, just like he should in a Child's Play film.
Yeah.
Remember like Child's Play 2? They gave that guy some fucking shit.
Yeah.
Remember Child's Play 3 when that giant blade took half of his face off?
I do!
That was good. And then it's like Caslin kind of cover it up. They're like, you know, we're going to recall all the products. Cut to a factory. spooky Chucky doll. We're done. We kind of like, they kind of petered out the very last minute of like, you know, like kind of like, oh, okay, we're doing some cool, interesting stuff, but we're going to finish it exactly how you expect it's going to finish.
But that's fine. Like, I was well on side by that point.
Not bad at all. You know, it probably should have got a bit more hustle at the time when it came out.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly 90 minutes to the minute.
Which is just where you want it to be.
You can watch it twice in 3 hours. Like, give it a punt.
Yeah.
I'm urging you.
Yes.
This is your local Todd Jordan
candidate.
Urging you to watch Child's Play brackets 2019. Is it the best Child's Play movie? Probably not. We all know that that's Seed of Chucky.
Yeah.
Is it the worst one? No!
Absolutely not.
By a long shot.
It's good. I mean, I don't think they're going to make another one. I haven't heard... It just seemed like it made no ripples, this film. But, it's worth a pun. I'm quite happy that we watched this.
Now, do you feel like the lack of splash... I can't imagine it was due to lack of quality of the film, because I've seen, which I'm not going to name on this podcast for fear of what it will do to our social media, but some very, very well-hyped modern horror films that I thought were absolute garbage. Whatever the second biggest one is that you're thinking everyone's talking about, that's the one I'm talking about.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I didn't like Mandy, all right. Didn't like it. That film made a huge splash and everybody loved it. This film is better than that and did not. So I don't think it's the fault of the film. It's just that obviously the world wasn't wanting another Child's Play film or wasn't ready for one.
I mean, I feel like, you know, like obviously like there was the new Halloween film which came out and felt like people sat up and paid attention.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel that like Child's Play has... the legacy that demand that people sit up and go, oh, hang about.
Yeah.
There's a new Child's Play. It's like, if you're interested in it, you're interested in it. If you're not, you're not. And it's not going to like pick up people who kind of like, oh, I've heard of this Child's Play thing. Maybe this is the point where I dip my toe in and find out about it. You know, like a lot of people, this is from the same producers of It. And like a lot of people went and watched It that probably haven't read the book or seen like the
but
Tim
isn't
Curry.
That a harder sell? It's like a nearly three hour, two part, like.
But at the same time, even if you don't know it, you know it. Like, I guess.
But
even,
I guess people know Chucky. Yeah, people thing. Do know Chucky.
Well, it had a big push, big media push.
I guess maybe there's only room in town for one
creepy clown doll thingy.
Yeah.
There we go.
Interesting. Well, if you listeners have an opinion that is different to ours or you swerved this film for a particular reason, do let us know. We would love to hear from you about why that is. As always, even when we're not putting out regular episodes, we're still checking the social. You can tweet us at BitterEndPod. You can hit us up on Facebook at BitterEndPod. Don't send me all the reasons why you think I'm wrong for not liking Mandy.
He's not going to fucking listen. I've known this guy for a long time and he will not. But anyway, we're the Bitter End Podcast and, you know, we'll hopefully be back and do some more shit whenever we can get round to doing some more shit. But this feels good to have, like, this was, like, outstanding on the list. And I'm glad we've ticked that off. We're up to date.
Yes, absolutely. We will be back soon. I am Todd Jordan.
I'm Tom Denny.
And I'll be your friend to the end.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my best friend.